You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock, 3:01 on your Friday. Hey, weekend is here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do this thing. Finish up in style. Bear, Marcus, and Tucker in here with me as we've got 3 hours lined up for you. And we're ready to rock and roll here this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're ready for a big weekend.
Sure am. Three-dayer for us.
How about that?
Nice.
How about that? Outstanding. Big news day in the NFL. Nuke Hopkins released after 3 seasons in Arizona. Any interest in a 30-year-old injury-prone wide receiver, Marcus?
I'd take a one-year deal shot at it, but I don't think he's going to sign with the Titans. I think he has interest in – well, one, I don't know if we can afford him, but two, I think he would have interest in a team that is 100% championship-ready, like the Bills –
the Bills, the Ravens, the Patriots, among the teams reportedly interested in pursuing Hopkins. We'll see. Obviously, you know, I was talking with in our group with Bear and Lucas Panzeca, and I think as Titans fans, and this is not a shot at you, Marcus, but, you know, Lucas was like, why would he have interest in coming here? And to that I said, well, I just think, like, we're too close to it, man, and Titans fans are still, particularly Vol Titans fans, are still in this post-drafting Will Levis funk. And I don't think they're looking at it as dispassionately as free agents who don't have any ties to the state or the franchise or the, you know, the colleges might look at it. If I were Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon and I were approaching Nuke Hopkins or anybody of that ilk, my pitch would be, look, 2 years ago, we were 13-3 and the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. And our season went poorly last year, but we were still one bad call and a Josh Dobbs fumble away from being in the playoffs with one of the worst offensive lines in all of pro football. We have addressed the offensive line, and if we can keep Ryan Tannehill upright, he's shown he can deliver the football. We are in desperate need of wide receivers. You will have all the snaps you could possibly want here. So come in here and play with a quarterback who's a proven commodity when he can stay healthy. And we are committed to keeping him healthy this year. That's where we've invested most of our resources, both in the draft and in free agency.
Yeah, but do you think he's still a number one in
no.
this league?
No. Hopkins, no, certainly not. But – I mean, beggars can't be choosers at this
well,
point.
No. I agree with you. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, Lucas. You never know. Is he going to – like, I think it was either you or Lucas posed the question, is he looking to get paid or is he ring chasing or
– Yeah, I mean, if he's ring chasing, obviously the Bills probably make the most sense out of the – but I don't know what their cap situation is either. I mean, I can't imagine that all these teams that are – quote-unquote legitimate Super Bowl contenders have a huge amount of cap space, willing to throw take a flyer on a 30-year-old injury-prone wide receiver who's also had a little bit of diva tendencies.
Yeah, that's what I was – the other two things would be chemistry and your locker room chemistry. He's kind of got a little bit of a track record of
– He's a diva. He's a wide receiver. I mean, he's
– The one place that I think – that would make sense for him probably be New England.
But you're not going there to ring chase, are you? Play with Mac Jones?
Yeah, you're not winning anything.
No, you're not ring chasing, but I think that was one of the teams that he may have mentioned.
Well, so here's my counter argument to that. For one, I'll let you know right now, Buffalo Bills right now have, according to this site, have about 1.5 million of cap space left. So they would definitely have to move some money around to make it happen. Titans have 10.6 million. I think he'd probably get more closer to what Odell got, which was about 15 million. So I don't know if they'd have the money for it. He would probably take a cap cut for a team that could win. But with the Titans, my argument would be, if I were him, would come back to say, okay, but you're a run-focused team. How am I going to get the ball if you're more focused on the run game than the pass game?
Because we have no wide receivers, and you aren't going to run the ball every down in this league.
Somebody's got to catch the ball.
Somebody's got to catch the ball. We don't have anybody who can catch the ball right now.
No, I know that. But I'm just saying, like, unless Tim Kelly does something different, last few years since Arthur Smith has left – we've been run, pass, and
well,
pass.
The word out of training camp is that they are they are doing something different. They're bringing a new pass game coordinator, London. So you got a new quarterbacks coach, new offensive coordinator, new play caller, new system, a lot more up-tempo, no huddle. We'll see if that transpires. I'm a little bit skeptical as well. But, I mean, if you're the Titans, all you can do is shoot your shot. And, like I said, they are desperate for wide receivers, so we'll see. I'm sure they'll at least kick the tires on DeAndre Hopkins. Elsewhere in the National Football League, new Saints quarterback Derek Carr had a familiar hand helping him this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's that?
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of blood out in my body.
Former Raiders coach John Gruden working with the Saints as a consultant, helping them install their new offense during off-season workouts.
You know, I love Tennessee.
Wow.
How about that?
They really brought him in?
Can't cancel the Grood, baby.
Wouldn't you like to see all those emails? All that stuff that they uncovered?
Not really.
I'd like to read them.
Not really. Mm. You know, he would say anything that we had this conversation at the time last year with Gruden. Like, if we're looking at everybody's emails, I don't want anybody looking at all my emails. I know you don't want anybody looking at all your emails.
Well, here's the thing about me.
And there's 32 NFL football coaches who damn sure don't want everybody looking at their emails.
Yeah, I don't really send a whole lot of emails. I definitely would not want anybody seeing any of any number of group texts that I'm included in.
Saints brought in Gruden to help Carr and the offensive coaching staff under Dennis Allen, according to NOLA.com. We'll see if old Derek Carr can turn back the clock with the Saints down there. That'll be an interesting storyline to follow early in the NFL season. Hey, we got UT softball getting set to get started over there at Sherry Lee Parker Stadium.
Stay away, Rain.
Good luck to the Lady Vols as they take on Texas in a best-of-three series.
Horns
over
down.
There.
Horns down.
From the SEC, you're going to have to get used to it.
And Oklahoma leading Clemson 2-0, top of the fourth.
Oh, is that what we're watching here?
Yeah. What? Hey, Tucker, why do the pitchers wear catcher's masks? Seems a little
– what do you think?
I don't really have a good answer for you.
What do you mean you don't have a good answer to it? I mean, is this not the most intuitive thing? Marcus, why do you think the pitchers wear catcher's masks in softball?
Why don't they wear them in baseball?
Yeah, that's
then?
What I'm going to say, baseball, because that hurts a lot worse than a softball coming at you.
Because I'm guessing the mound is further away.
Mm-hmm.
Men have quicker reaction times, typically.
How far
than
are the
women?
That's a little misogynistic.
And the ball is smaller.
Not misogynistic
at
all.
The dimensions
it's
are a
matter
little bit
of
smaller.
Biology.
How close is the – it's not a mound where the pitcher stands.
The circle.
The circle from home plate in softball.
It is probably – well, it's considerably closer than baseball.
Which means you have less reaction time to dodge if something comes for your face. So that's what I would say.
That softball ain't coming off that bat faster than it comes off – a baseball comes off some of these guys' bats. In baseball.
No.
I'm just saying, if you're saying it's a safety issue, it's kind of like the thing we always talk about those things they wear over their helmets during spring practice to cut back on concussions. Those things really work. Why aren't we wearing them in games?
You want baseball players to wear catcher's masks?
No, I'm just it's the first time I've noticed it. It just seemed kind of odd. I was like, why is the catcher standing out there? And then it hit me. That's the pitcher. I don't know. I mean, I guess in the
– Do you think a softball is going to hurt like less than a baseball? Is that what you're saying?
It's not a matter of hurting less. I think you're a lot more likely to get killed if you get hit in the face with a baseball coming off a bat than you are softball.
We could put this to the test.
Has it ever happened?
I'll be glad to fire a baseball at your head at 100 miles an hour.
Well, people get hit by line drives. Pitchers get hit by line drives in the head in baseball all the time. And I'm trying to dig through the foggy recesses of my mind. I feel like there was one major league player. I mean, I'm sure it's happened where people have died. But generally, it's what, a 99% survival rate?
Yeah. It's a lot more dangerous to get hit in the head with a baseball.
I think you just you're at danger.
That's a batter.
I mean, softball's bigger than a baseball, harder to dodge.
Not traveling as fast.
Not as heavy though.
I don't want to get hit by either one.
No.
But I don't know. Does it take away from your enjoyment of the game
first
to see
all,
the pitcher?
No, I don't know why we got into this, and
because you brought it up.
I just brought it up, but I was just it didn't require a damn 10-minute discussion and argument with you guys.
Softballs actually weigh more than baseballs do.
Well, talk to him. Don't look at me.
I'm just saying it in general.
Gentlemen, please, also, discourse, not discord.
According to this article, softballs do hurt more than baseballs.
Well, like so, I said, man, I can fire both of them at you, and we'll see which one you tell me, which one hurt worse when I smoked it at you.
Yeah, okay.
Marcus's Celtics staving off elimination once again. And
not only staving off, they dominated that game.
Suddenly a lot of momentum on Boston's side. I feel like Miami's in trouble, man. This is a
must win
game in game six. If they don't win, I don't think they're winning a game seven in Boston.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you've seen this stat because they've brought it up quite a bit. No team has ever come back being down 3-0 in a series. No team. They are 0-149.
First time for everything.
Right. I believe they said it last night, they are 4 out of 5 in Miami during the playoffs, including last year. They won once this year and lost once, but they were undefeated in Miami last year. So I think even Charles Barkley said, and he's not wrong, if you're not playing well, home court advantage just doesn't matter. And these last two games, Miami's not been playing to their standard, especially, you know, early in the game.
Give old Missoula some credit, man. They've obviously made some adjustments, both strategically and tactically, but within the rotations, player rotations, and all that stuff. And, yeah, they've got the upper hand right now. I kind of think they're going to come back and pull it off.
It'd be pretty sweet. I'm excited for tomorrow's game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines this afternoon. 546-8200. If you want to chime in on anything we've talked about here in the opening segment, when we continue, open lines. Brandon Marcello has an article out today, support for the 9-game SEC conference season is dwindling. Will the SEC stay at 8? 8 conference games, maybe one permanent opponent, and 7 rotating games? We'll discuss that with you when we continue next right here on The Drive. It's Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Marcus cruising with you on Friday afternoon edition of the show. Young Tucker Harlan hanging out, and I've got a bone to pick with him a little bit later. 865-546-8200. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You will be held accountable, and you will atone. Network.
Is this about the – I don't think you've ever seen it. Is this about the awkward thing? Was it awkward? Late bloomer. That was it.
No. 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 This matters. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. Brandon Marcello, college football writer for 247sports.com today, writing, support for the nine-game model dwindles as the SEC gathers for spring meetings in Destin. At least five SEC schools enter spring meetings opposing a switch from eight conference games to nine when Oklahoma and Texas join the league next year. So we've heard that Alabama is on the verge of endorsing the eight-game conference schedule after Nick Saban voiced frustration with the SEC's three proposed permanent rivals. And I believe Bama's were Auburn, LSU, and Tennessee, a pretty tough road to hoe for the Tide. You hate to see it. And you got some other schools basically saying Georgia, South Carolina, one more that I'm blanking on, Florida, that have big non-conference matchups every year with Florida State, Georgia Tech, Clemson, saying, no, we don't want to go to the nine-game conference schedule. Are you guys buying this? I just can't believe that the SEC and Sankey are going to not give their TV partners who write the checks in this business what they want, which is more quality content.
Well, I wonder right off the bat if to even get that to fly with the TV people, because I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, what if ESPN and the TV partners are like, no, we need inventory, we need product to sell. We've given you this money. We made the deal. But you don't know what was agreed to or what's in those contracts. At the end of the day, if they do the 1+7, I would hope that the league would mandate that you can only do at most two so-called bye games. Like you'd have to have a league. You got to schedule two Power Fives.
Yeah, I would hope that. I would hope that they just go to the nine-game schedule. I can't imagine that they're going to let Nick Saban, a guy who's he's a football coach. He's not on the business side of this. He shouldn't get to make the decision anyway. But also, he's old. He's going to be gone by the time this contract is completed anyway. So, to me, this is just posturing, I think. I think they are leaking these stories. I think Sankey and
floating company, trial balloons just to see gauge reaction. Or?
No, I think it's a negotiation. I think that they are planning these stories in the media so that we will talk about it and get it rolling, so that the TV folks will open up the checkbook a little bit more. And I think basically saying, hey, we're perfectly content to stay at eight games, hoping that the TV people will come back and say, whoa, no, wait a minute. We want that extra game. What if we throw in an extra, fill-in-the-blank million, and the SEC comes back and says, well, no, we really don't want to do that. If we were going to do that, it would take this number, and back and forth, you're buying a used car, essentially.
I mean, that may very well happen. I don't know. I mean, I can understand. I mean, you take my hatred – for him out of it. I mean, I understand, like, you imagine how pissed we'd be if we got dealt LSU, Auburn, and I don't know.
Georgia?
Or Alabama. If we had to play those three, we'd be burning it down.
Well, and we've talked a lot about wanting Vanderbilt and Kentucky as our three, or even South Carolina. It would be a much easier three-game setup than what they have. But there are still six other games.
Yeah.
And the chances of two or three of those six games for Alabama being Missouri, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, something like that, are just as good. You know, if those are our permanent opponents, they're not going to be in our six.
Well, you know it's not going to be Georgia because they only play them like once every 20 years. Well, they played like twice in the past 20 years outside of the championship game, like regular season, Georgia and Alabama. They avoid each other like the plague in the regular season.
Yeah. I mean, I would be interested to see, and I'm sure they can run projections and look at this and say whose schedule is going to be easiest. And you're playing nine games. At nine games, that's one more game exposure for these teams. It's going to be more difficult. It's always going to be harder with nine games than it is with eight games. Because I got news for you. If people are looking that, well, you're just a Tennessee guy and you want to stick it to Alabama. And listen. The eight game schedule for Tennessee, because we're getting Vanderbilt. If it's a 7+1 with one permanent opponent, Tennessee's getting Vanderbilt because it's an in-state rival. I would be stunned if they didn't.
Yeah.
So that's going to be even easier for Tennessee in that segment, and they're getting Auburn. Alabama and Auburn is going to be their permanent opponent for sure. You're going to stay with all the in-states, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Texas, Texas A&M. Those are going to be permanent opponents. So we come out of that just fine in the 7+1 scenario as well. I just think if you take a step back and you take everything, all the emotion out of it, you get all the we got to preserve rivalries, all the we must maximize profits. What are you eating right now?
It's a cough drop. I'm sorry.
Can you stop?
Yeah.
Or at least not do it into the microphone?
Yeah.
If you take out all the emotion and just ask yourself, what's best for everyone involved, the egalitarian approach, what is best for the fans, the players, the coaches, the schools, the TV, the cheerleaders, the vendors, all that stuff, it's nine games. How can it not be? More of a good thing is good. Less of a good thing, not as good.
It can't be a small amount of money either.
Forget Tennessee, forget Alabama, forget Georgia. Missouri versus Kansas is good. Missouri versus Oklahoma, good. Missouri versus Southeast Missouri State.
I mean, Alabama versus Samford. It's garbage. Nobody wants to watch that. Nobody wants to watch Tennessee play ETSU or UT Martin.
So I said that earlier in the week. I think Phil was asking about what we thought about this, and I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it that they are going to stay at eight games. I would be absolutely stunned. I think this is a negotiation. I think this is Greg Sankey playing underwater 3D chess, rattling his sabers, trying to extract a few extra $100 million out of Disney. And I think ultimately he will be successful because he's pretty good at his job,
yeah,
as he showed through the years.
There is something that I want to see if you guys, any of you guys had seen it, but we can save it for later on. But Sankey apparently quote tweeted somebody complaining about the baseball tournament being in Hoover.
Ooh.
I did see that.
Yeah. He got kind of snarky with somebody.
It's not his style.
Apparently, guy hit a button.
Well, it's probably a good sign with the conference commissioner. Most powerful man in college football is arguing with Bulldog478 on Twitter. Let's go to the phones, 865-546-8200. Open lines this afternoon, no guests scheduled. We want to work in as many of your calls as humanly possible. So go ahead and dial now. Let's start with Phil. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, David?
What's up, Philly?
How you, Barry Marcus and Tucker doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I hope the Celtics get beat so I can hear Utah and Marcus cry like babies on the air.
Good God. That's not nice, Phil.
Well, it is nice.
Jamie cries when we win.
You're talking to one of our coaches.
That's a good point.
Good radio.
Yeah. Be kind.
Say that again, Marcus.
Be
Jamie,
kind.
Jamie cries when we win. So, I mean, he'll be excited if we lose. So, you're not really going to get the wish you want.
What was his theory about why he wants them to lose? Because it makes the decision easier to make.
Yeah, he thinks that losing makes the ownership make that decision easier. If ownership wanted to fire him, they'd fire him, but they're not. Like, if they're unhappy with him, they'll fire him. But owners make millions of dollars. That's all they care about is winning. So if they don't feel like he's going to win it for them, they'll let him go. It's not that hard of a decision.
Yeah, too bad Utah's not an owner, you know. Guys, y'all talking about what I've been talking about the last couple of days, this 9-game, 8-game, Saban's rear end is what it comes down to.
Well, somebody just hit me up and mentioned the article we're talking about from Marcello mentions Tennessee as being one of the schools that's also on the fence about a potential 9-game model. And, you know, why is Brett from the morning show asked me why would we have reservations? And again, follow the money, man. It's a negotiation. This is posturing for more money from Disney. Oh no, I don't know. It's student athlete health. 9 games is too much. Oh boy, I don't know. We want to keep the money in state and play ETSU. They don't.
Yeah.
They want ESPN to cut a bigger check.
Yeah.
And they will.
Well, my question to you all, though, is Big Ten going to 9 games, right? Or are there already 9 games, right?
Yes.
Pac-12's already been there.
Big 12's been there
forever.
Well, it's going to come down to who gets more people in the playoff, and it's going to be the Big Ten versus the SEC for most of these spots. And if we go 8 games, SEC's going to get screwed out of a spot or two in the playoff.
Well, the other thing, I mean,
because the Big Ten will say is a tougher league.
At some point, as we move into the 12-team playoff era of college football, any of y'all feel free to jump in, and if you feel differently, football RPI is going to be a thing. Wouldn't you think strength of schedule, RPI, like stuff like that, is going to be a thing? And I think teams are not going to be able to afford to bring in, you know, Austin Peay, UT Martin. These FCS teams.
But, I mean, you guys just said
that director's going to do that.
The Big Ten, Pac-12, and Big 12 have been at 9 games for a couple of years now. How has that worked out for them as far as getting teams in the playoff?
Well, we don't have a 12. We don't have a 12-team playoff right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right
even more.
Right now, you've got Georgia and Alabama and pretty much, or even Clemson. If they have a great year, they're automatically in the playoffs. Everybody else has got to fight. Well, Ohio State's automatic get in.
But the SEC has been playing one less conference game and all that, and they have been dominating this playoff. They've been getting 2 teams in more often than not. Why is it going to be any different when you add more teams?
Well, it's going to depend who picks this playoff. I mean, Bears talk about strength of schedule. Are you going to have an NCAA? Like to pick the
selection committee? Well, sure they will.
Yeah.
That's what we have now.
You think the SEC is going to control that committee?
No, but, Phil, that's how it is now.
Yeah, they haven't controlled it in years past. I mean, this guy who's retiring at Iowa today has been in charge the past couple of years. And, I mean, you know, I think those guys have generally gotten it right.
I think there's probably going to be three or four teams from the SEC will make the 12-team playoff every year.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be teams that get screwed occasionally. And, again, I think this is just posturing. I think they will go to 9 conference games eventually.
Yeah.
But I just don't know that – I don't know there's a huge disadvantage one way or the other.
Well, let me float this one at you guys. What if you did somewhere in between the 1+7 and the 3 and did 1+8?
Well,
that would definitely ensure
that. So I care.
That you would, if you came to play a sport, if you came to play football in the Southeastern Conference, you're going to get a home and home guaranteed.
I think it's a balance thing, Bear, because there are 7 teams that you wouldn't play in the SEC in a given year. So basically, it would be uneven if you were to do that.
Yeah, it's a math. Like, you can't guarantee the same number of games across the board.
Let's go to 10 then. 2 bye games. That's what I'd do if I were in charge. I make it play 10.
You know that Texas A&M hasn't played Georgia at Texas A&M since they've been in the SEC?
No, you're just petty enough where I bet you'll know the answer to this one. How many times have they played Alabama in the regular season in the past 20 years, Phil?
I'd say it's either one or two times.
That's the one that always just fascinates me, is how they don't.
I don't think Georgia's played in Tuscaloosa at all that I can think of.
2020.
And see, if I don't know anything about football, and I'm one of these TV suit guys sitting in an office somewhere, either in Connecticut or New York, and I'm looking at the SEC, I'm wanting to know, you know, when are we going to have this huge ratings bonanza with an Alabama-Georgia showdown in the regular season?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. One thing that helps Tennessee, though, is the growth of Nashville TV market. Of course, Georgia's got Atlanta, and I don't think anybody else in the SEC's got that big of a TV markets, do they? Outside of, you know, it's right in the you know, close by.
I don't know, Philly.
I mean, Austin, Texas, once you get in here, that'll create a big TV market.
Sure.
I think we're past that now. I mean, it's a, you know, other than pro football, I mean, it gets crazy ratings. Just all, everybody watches it.
I want to congratulate the Catholic baseball team for winning the state championship. Caleb Moore did a great job of coaching, and it's nice to see him win a championship. That's two championships, though. They won the girls' basketball and that, and I guess football. Glad to do some recruiting. Big boy league.
What? Phil. What's this I hear about a Catholic basketball defection?
Yeah, DeAndre Lindsay will be attending Oak Hill Academy.
I mean, good grief. Y'all's program is falling apart.
You lose a Hall of Fame coach, it's a rough
Is it that, or have you lost your chief benefactor, your major program contributor who's been bankrolling all the success that has suddenly dried up now that he's been gone for a couple of years?
It's critical.
He had absolutely nothing to do with basketball. Tread lightly.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Tread lightly.
And you can't tell me players were headed over to play for Catholic without huge NIL promises.
There weren't any kind of money. They were promised a good, solid Catholic education and development to become college basketball players. Wow. I mean, longtime friend of the show, Coach Mike Hutchins from Catholic. You really going to take shots at a local legend?
It's fallen apart since he's left. BJ's gone. DeAndre's gone.
Tom!
Butch is gone.
That's inexcusable.
Butch had zero to do with the basketball program.
His name is on the scoreboard. It's the freaking Butch Bowl.
That's football.
I'm aware. You're aware that football pays for everything in these athletics departments.
Football didn't pay for much on basketball side.
Okay. All right.
Let's go ahead and tell you. They did have a very good benefactor.
Yeah, some oceanfront property in Greater Cook County to sell you, if you believe that.
Their benefactor was not Butch Jones.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's why it's the Barb's Chip Dip scoreboard over there.
Are we talking about football or basketball?
Talk about everything, buddy.
You can't.
We're
you
talking
can't lump
about
them all
high
together.
School athlete. You absolutely can. You have to. What do you think we're talking about, this SEC expansion and the TV stuff? It's football. It pays for everything. It's Division I football, brother. Go play intramurals.
Be kind.
865-546-8200. I hope you guys get it back together, though. It pains me to see your empire crumbling over there off Cedar Bluff Road.
It's a really sad look that you're taking this kind of shots at a local.
It is. No, it's sad. It's sad
at a local high school.
Something that had become such a powerhouse is now falling apart.
You've called into question. You're basically acting like he's Mike Krzyzewski.
Oh, the most successful coach in modern
history? Complete outlaw program. Paying high school kids is what you're intimating.
You said it. I didn't say that stuff. Outlaw program, paying high school kids. That's what you said. Not me. I wouldn't say that. It's irresponsible, quite frankly. Rusty is next on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. What's up, Rusty?
Oh, what's up, fellas?
How's it going?
Good, man. So the current ESPN deal we have when we go forward with Texas and Oklahoma, it's for 8 games, and it's just under $1 billion. It's like $973 million.
Okay.
So this is all posturing. You're right. This is simply, if we're going to add a nice game, we're going to get more than $973 million in our deal. We want $1.2 billion to go to a nice third deal for starters.
Want to keep up with the Big Ten. Want to be on at least an even playing field, if not one that's tilted in our advantage.
Right. Now the 1-7 is the only way to do it. You have 8 if you're doing an 8-game schedule. That way, everybody plays each other every other year. So Georgia and Alabama would then start playing every other year at minimum. They would play every other year. Of course, Georgia and Bama wouldn't be the common opponent, so that would be a every other year game. Us and Auburn would be an every other year game. Us and LSU would be an every other year game, et cetera. And then the 3 and the 6, with the 9-game schedule, that does the same thing. You have 3 common opponents, and the other 6, on an even year, you play this 6. On the odd year, you play this 6. That covers all 15 opponents you could possibly have. So, yes, both of those work, and it has to be those. It has to be a 1-7 if you're doing 8, and it's got to be a 3-6 if you're doing 9. But it's going to be 9. This is all just posturing, except for Saban's crying because his 3 common opponents are LSU, Auburn, and Tennessee, and he doesn't like that. But that's just dumb because if you're playing 9 SEC opponents and you're playing everybody every other year, everybody's schedule is going to be hard regardless of who your common opponents are.
Nobody's coming out of that with an easy schedule.
Nope. You're going to – everybody every year, regardless of who your commons are, you're still going to play 6 tough games and probably 3 so-so games. You're going to have 6 tough opponents and 3 okay opponents, or maybe pretty good opponents. And then Vandy's going to be the worst opponent anybody will have, and Missouri's not far behind that.
Yeah, but you know what he wanted was probably Auburn, Tennessee, and then he wanted to maintain that ages-old rivalry that Alabama's had with Vanderbilt. I really think that's what he wanted.
That's what we want.
He wanted Mississippi State. He wanted Mississippi State, Auburn, and Tennessee. He didn't think LSU staying on was fair.
That's fair. He's got a point. There's no honor amongst thieves. We're all wolves here trying to find the easiest road for ourselves to deal with. I don't think he expected to get Vanderbilt, but I see his point of view, man. That is a tough 3 permanent opponents.
Yeah,
but
I mean, it's like I said, I admitted that earlier.
It's like Rusty said, you got 6 other games here. Ain't nobody having an easy schedule in a 9-game SEC schedule.
Here's the thing. 1 year, even if that's his 3 common opponents are tough, he's still going to every other year play Vandy. So he's going to get that cupcake game mixed in. Every other year he's going to play Missouri. So 1 year he'll have Missouri as his cupcake, and 1 year he'll have Vandy. 1 year he'll have Mississippi State as his cupcake. 1 year he'll have Ole Miss. 1 year he'll have Oklahoma as his cupcake as long as Venables is there. And the next year he'll have Florida as long as Napier's there. So he's still going to get his cupcakes mixed in too, but you're going to have 9 games. 6 of them are going to be tough. And it doesn't matter which ones your common opponents are. So he's tripping, and I think Sankey's just using this to fleece more money for the 9th game because right now the contract says you only have to play 8.
I mean, could you imagine if this was the NFL and they had teams that they could go play outside of their divisional, you know, other teams in the league? I think that's what it needs to get to eventually. Like once we get a few years done of this, and if the Power 5 breaks off, you shouldn't be playing anybody outside of who can make it into the playoffs.
They're still going to have you playing at least like 1 group of 5, and you'll be allowed to play 1 FBS school because they want Tennessee to be able to fund ETSU's programs for the entire year by playing ETSU every third year or Martin or whoever. You'll still have a 1AA game. But as an Eagles fan, I want to play some non-NFL teams if I can. I want to play the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or the Toronto Argonauts. Can we get them on our schedule? I'm sure as a Titans fan, you'd love to play one of those USFL teams and go get it to count as a win?
Oh man, we got Levis. We don't need any help now. We're back.
Stop.
We're back.
It's disgusting.
Right. Back.
It's Friday, man. Stop.
You're gross.
Oh well, I hope you do. I hope you guys do. As an Eagles fan, my last thing is, I hope you guys do find a way to get Nuke, and then y'all can trade him to my Eagles for like a couple of like fifth round draft picks.
All right, Rusty.
Thank you, Rusty. Appreciate it. 865-546-8200 if you want to chime in this afternoon. 546-8200. We have bloodletting in SEC baseball as a potentially prominent SEC baseball job has come open this afternoon. We'll let you know what that is. More of your phone calls on the way as well. Stay with us. It's The Drive. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. 546-8200 if you want to chime in today. We go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. Georgia head baseball coach Scott Strickland is out after 10 seasons in Athens. You're fired. Bulldogs finished the season with a 29-27 record.
Oof.
11-19. How did they sweep Arkansas, take 2-3 against us, and like that's five of their wins? That's almost half their conference wins. What else? What were they doing the rest of the time down there?
I have no clue. I actually didn't watch. I watched very little of their games this year.
It's the only time I saw them was I watched their first game against Arkansas and their series against us, obviously. They looked fantastic. But evidently they just sucked when they weren't playing us or the Hogs.
I guess so.
Bowed out in the first round of the tournament just like us in Hoover down there on Tuesday. It was Georgia's fewest wins in a season since 2017 when the Bulldogs finished below 500 but with the same record in SEC play. The last time Georgia finished with fewer wins in the league was in 2015. So Georgia looking for a new coach. I guess Alabama is too, so two high-profile SEC – or, again, potentially high-profile SEC jobs with decent-looking stadiums and facilities, good talent bases to recruit from – schools
money.
That should be better in baseball than they have been.
I mean, Alabama, and they used to be a pretty year in and year out a pretty decent baseball program. What's wild about this year is, man, as soon as they got rid of that coach, like they've been on a tear since then.
Yeah.
Was he actively just – I mean, that's what I'm left wondering, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah, you guys gamble.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Have you guys not thought about it? I mean, y'all place bets.
I would just think, like, if you were consistently sabotaging your team to win bets, that would be pretty obvious.
I don't know. Would it?
At a certain point, it would have to be. I mean, think of how.
No, you could just do it with – manipulating your lineup.
Well, think of the reaction Tennessee fans had to Vitello yanking Dolander out of that game. That's the kind of thing that, like, you know, you could make the argument that cost Tennessee a ball game up there at Columbia last weekend. So that's the kind of thing you would have to do consistently. And, like, I always heard that guy was pretty good.
I've been told he had like a sterling reputation. Like people are stunned.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think he was throwing games or anything like that. But, you know, sometimes it's
a little,
you know,
adversity.
The new manager bounce. Things haven't been going great. You have some controversy. The coach gets fired. Interim comes in there. All right, boys, look, man. Let's just go out there and have fun, put all the pressure and everything. Let's just relax and go out there. And sometimes you can get hot doing that for a little while. It eventually fizzles for the most part. But you get a new coach bounce. That's a thing in sports.
Yeah, that kind of makes me wonder how – and I cannot remember His name is off the Barnes tree, the head coach of Texas in basketball. It's a classic case.
Ronnie Terry.
Yeah.
Knew this kid was going to pay off.
I mean, is he I wonder if he's going to be able to maintain his come in during, you know, times of trouble and
yeah,
hold it together.
Yeah, we'll see. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in this afternoon on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. 546-8200, your number to get on board. Cody wants to know, and we should talk to Cody. Not our Cody. This is Rando Cody on Twitter.
Okay.
Who's the bigger dork? Frisbee golf guy or anime guy trying to win an office argument?
I feel like anime guy. Simply the fact that frisbee golf guy, usually fairly physically fit.
What?
Aren't they? We talking, no, I'm thinking of Ultimate Frisbee. Did you ever play that?
No, we're talking about frisbee golf. Or frolf, as George Costanza referred to it. And if George Costanza can participate in the activity, no. Sorry, not a sport. I don't know, man. They had a big frisbee golf tournament going on over at Lakeshore a couple of weeks ago that made parking over there for baseball just an absolute nightmare. But frolf guy's pretty dorky. Pretty dorky. I've played frolf once or twice before. Not a lot of fun. I'm not very good at throwing a frisbee. That's one physical activity I just don't have an aptitude for. But it's also just, I don't know, man. It's no substitute for the real thing. No substitute for real golf, I'll tell you that. Anime thing, I don't know, man. I just, like, it's never been my bag. I know people, I've got,
I mean,
my kids are kind of into that.
Well,
it's become very
say.
Popular.
I thought that, you know, that was primarily anime stuff was like a kid thing, isn't it?
Well, maybe that's where the dorkiness comes in, is like if you're, you know, if you're a 15-year-old kid in high school and you love watching some Dragon Ball Z or you're into the art or whatever, it's one thing. 33-year-old guy living in mom's basement with life-size anime cutouts adorning his bedroom.
I kind of think that's a little bit dorkier than a bunch of dudes that are trying to get out of their house and
at least
have a beer
they're
with their
in fresh air,
getting out in fresh air and getting a little
active.
Bit of exercise.
Engaging in some competition.
Yeah. I got some friends that do it.
Marcus has been noticeably silent this conversation.
Oh, wait, no, I would not surprise me at all if he was a frother.
I don't care about frisbee golf or anime. So I'm neutral to
you
it.
Went with froth immediately. I was going to go.
Froffer.
I was going to add that it wouldn't surprise me if Marcus dabbled in the anime.
I don't care
I would
about
guess
either
frother.
Subjects at all, to be honest with you. I think frisbee golf is lame, and I'm just not into anime.
I'm going to kick your ass,
just
frisbee
calm
golf,
calm down,
boys.
Man. You're so angry all the time, Marcus. Just throwing elbows all over the place. Why can't you be more calm and welcoming like my friend Bear over here?
I don't know how to answer that, Russell.
Well, as long as you make up for it with a solid top four at four.
He's going to knock it out of the park.
I'll be happy. Stay with us. Encouraging words from Bear as well. This feels like a trap. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.